Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got to ask you, are you excited to be here? I hope you are, because I'm just about to bust a gut. I'll tell you what, God is so amazing. I just the things God does and the way He does them and the timing that He does them. We talk about this timing thing, you know, it's kind of a cute little thing sometimes. But the truth of it is, because God sees what we don't see, because God knows what we don't know, we sometimes get to the place where we might be just a little bit, or let me put it this way, we sometimes think maybe God's not interested in something we've been praying for, looking after, or that it's not a priority to Him. And I'm on here to tell you today that God says that everything that was, anything that has to do with us is a priority to Him. Did you hear me? It's a priority to Him. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes there's things we pray about, and you know, like I say, it seems like it takes so long that we get a little weary, and we get to the place where, you know, like I say, maybe this is not a priority to God, but once again, I assure you it is. And I'm going to share some things with you this morning that are going to show you that how good, how great God is. Amen. How amazing He is. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the things that I just want to share too is I personally didn't know what to expect with Frank's surgery, but I'm going to let him tell you what happened and how long it took and everything. Praise the Lord. We need a testimony this morning. Like there's not enough pressure on him.
Just amazing how long it took to, the surgery took 45 minutes and I didn't even, at first they gave me a shot a sleeping pill and I didn't even know it was already over. I woke up and it was pretty amazing how quick it was. So I thank God for, making it so simple and easy. Instead of like back in the day, I guess you have to cut it open just to get in there and fix it up. And it's
Amen.
Pretty amazing. Now it's just look up to God and help me heal it up quicker.
God's good. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just pray real fast. Father, well, let's don't pray fast. Let's just pray. Father, in Jesus' name, once again, we thank You for this day. Father, we thank You for Your presence, for the presence of the Holy Spirit, and for the work that Jesus did to redeem us according to Your plan. Lord, we thank You that You have become our peace. You've become our joy. You've become our provider. You become our safety and our shield, Lord. We thank You for that today. We thank You for this day, Lord. We proclaim we are Your people. This is Your time. And now we surrender everything, our thoughts, our will, our lives to You today. We want to praise You and worship You in the beauty of holiness, Lord. And we give You thanks in Jesus' name for this day. And we thank You, Lord, again that we have open hearts, receptive minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we rejoice at this opportunity to return to You what You have so generously given to us. Yes. And Heavenly Father, we thank You for each and every person that's here. And we thank You for the hope and the future that You've given each one of us and also given to this church as an individual body of Christ. And we know, Heavenly Father, that You have great plans for us in the future, and that despite how things may look through the physical eye, in the spiritual eye, we're going to be doing great things for You, Heavenly Amen. Father. We ask You to bless this offering and bless each and every person that's here today. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'd ask if y'all are ready to praise and worship God, but I can see that many of you already are kind of anxious to get going, and I don't blame you. Amen. It's a beautiful thing and a blessed thing to be able to be in the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's praise and worship Him this morning. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we love You. We thank You today, Lord, that Your presence is with us, Lord. Your hand is upon us, Lord. You've told us and revealed that your thoughts for us are good and not for evil, to give us a hope and a future, to prosper and not to harm us. Lord, we believe you. We trust you. And we thank you for that, Lord. Now this morning, Lord, I pray that you'd help me give this message, Lord, as you've given it to me. Touch my lips with coal from the altar of God. Use me, Lord. I yield myself to you. Order my thoughts. Order my steps in your word, Lord. And let this come forth in boldness and confidence, Lord. And, Lord, let it minister to people who need to hear this message today, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing, Lord. I thank you that you're always working. You never sleep. You never slumber. And you're always, always working in our behalf, whether we see it or we don't. But we trust you, Lord, and we believe you that you are. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, once again, you're in charge. We yield to you. Thank you for bringing our Father's will into this place and into each one of us today. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Man, I'll tell you, we just, every time I turn around, somebody new is here. And we can live with that. We can handle that. I don't know all your names, but welcome. My name's Bill. We're glad to have you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Once again, I tell you, as I did at the beginning when we started, I never cease to be amazed at the power or the goodness or the way that God does things. Amen? I never cease to be amazed. You know, I have to tell you, I asked you earlier if you agree with me to pray for my mom this week because she's going in surgery. 92 years old, and she's going in for back surgery. She loves the Lord. She's at peace. But the point is, that's been, obviously, that would weigh on anybody. It's a concern. Well, but the point is, it's her decision. It's her decision. But you know what? When you've made peace with God and you know who God is, then you understand, even though it's not maybe what we would like, but the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And freedom for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, that may take you a few minutes, maybe a few years, to wrap your head completely around that. But she's lived a life for God. She knows the Lord. She's at peace by her own confession, and you can see it in her life. She's at peace. No, it's not what we'd like for, but we want her to have quality of life. What's the point in being here if all you're doing is suffering? Now, please, that's not selfish. That's concern for her, for anybody. Nobody wants to see anybody suffer. Amen? If you do, we'll pray for you after service. But God has given us, once again, exceeding and precious promises in His Word. You can turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Let me just explain. My little sister and I, my little sister takes care of my mom, for those of you who may not know, and lives with her. And right now, she hurts so bad that she can't even sleep at night. She has to sleep in a chair. And, of course, going into the surgery for the nurses here, they've already cut off her medication, which puts her in greater pain. But she's got some kind of back problem, some fused vertebrae or something like that that's pinching a nerve that's causing her great discomfort. And I'm talking about pain. And I've never seen in my life anybody who can endure pain like she can. I mean, for years, no cartilage in her shoulder. Rheumatoid arthritis has eaten that away. The enemy's lie of rheumatoid arthritis. And so she's in great pain constantly. I mean, she can't even dress herself anymore. And this is a woman who, if she could, she'd still be out driving. She made the decision not to because of the pain and because of things going on in her body. But she could do it. She's spry. She's alert. For 92, that's pretty good. I'll tell you again the story about it. One time we went to a nursing home. It happened to be Valentine's Day. And we went there a few times, and all of a sudden there was a lady who started coming. And I'm telling you, I had no idea. I had no idea how old this woman was. I got a kick out of it. She told me, well, I'll just come to see the old folks here. She was 93. Still driving and getting around like any one of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There has to be something there that you're doing right, and you have to know the Lord to be able to do that. That doesn't just happen normally. 93, and she's coming to visit the old folks. Praise God. And besides that, God says we're not supposed to diminish. That's something we struggle with. because we see what goes on around us and we see what happens in our own life. And that's something we have to come up to in faith. We have to approach it in faith. We have to believe it by faith. But I believe it's the truth. How about you? Hallelujah. I'm reminded what it says. I believe it's in, well, I don't remember the scripture offhand, but it says, these things that we suffer right now can't even be compared in this present age with the glory that's to come. Amen? So it's all in your perspective. And my perspective, it comes from the Lord. I have the mind of Christ. Amen? Are you with me this morning? That's where we're supposed to be, the mind of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, starting in verse 14, it says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Did you catch that? Being rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. How many think you got it figured out? Don't overwhelm me now. That you may be filled, listen, with all the fullness of God. Now verse 20 says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Amen. Now let me explain to you what's going on in another region with another member of my family. For the past I've lost track if it's 3 or 5 years, somewhere in there between those numbers. My sister has been struggling. She's been struggling with a nasty divorce and with a man who, what's unfortunate, has literally left his right mind. So she's got all this going on. She's got a Down syndrome son who's the joy of our life, Tony. Many of you may have met him. He's Down syndrome, but he's also the same age as my daughter, which is 33. And he's a blessing. Very smart. He's had opportunities in California that most kids would never get. My sister knows the Lord. I believe she loves the Lord. But one of the problems she has is that if she's not in control of things, she's not in control herself. If she can't control it, then it just, she can't handle it. Now that's not an indictment against her. We all have weaknesses of the flesh, amen? But thank God we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimony, amen? Thank you, Lord. So, and then on top of that, she's got a daughter who doesn't live there. She's looking after her son. Basically, because of her, and again, I give glory to God, not her, that God give her the strength and the wisdom to do this. She has literally, in Tony's lifetime, since they've been in California, which he was pretty young, revamped the entire California school system, brought them out of the dark ages concerning able disabled kids. Did you hear what I said? Able disabled kids. In other words, they're not just castaways. And now there's a different outlook. They've come out of the Stone Age. And now they're making places. There is a group over there that's run by a Christian couple called Break the Barriers. And Tony's been involved in that. And because of that group, he's gotten into Taekwondo. He does acrobatics and things with this group. And these are all kids that are physically able, no handicaps, but they're assisting and working with the able disabled. In other words, they may be disabled, but they're not. They have things to contribute, to offer. Amen? Creation of God. We know that they're born of God just because of God's will, not because of the blood of man or the wisdom of man or the thought of man, but born by the will of God, according to John 1:13. And so the things that would make a kid just absolutely excited. Met Chuck Norris. He's friends with the mayor of Fresno. He's had opportunities. I don't particularly appreciate this show. In fact, I hate this show. But there's a young lady in the show called Glee. Any of you who know anything about Glee, shame on you. It's a terrible show, and it's full of nothing but ungodliness, and it's driven by ungodliness. But the point is, there's a little girl in there who's Down syndrome also. He recently got to go out on a date in a limo with her. He's gotten to meet people in foreign countries. So, I mean, God's blessing. There's blessing there. But the point is, his sister lives here in Denver with us. You know, not with us, but I mean in Denver, around us, which is with us. And, of course, she's one who has, and it breaks my heart to say this, but has left the faith. When she went to college, she got all mixed up. She got turned around. And now, even though she knows in her heart, her life does not demonstrate the trust and the faith of God. But that's not the end of the story. So here we are. We've got a situation here in Denver where my mother is going through this. My sister has gone through a divorce, but now she is physically and emotionally spent. She's on medical leave from her job. I think that's a blessing personally because she works for a psychiatric school. So she's just falling apart at the seams. And she's already admitted, I'm angry at God. God didn't do it. God didn't do it. So there's concern here in one respect, but there's concern there in another respect. And they have concerns for here, along with her daughter who is here. And everyone loves my mom. But the point is, what I'm trying to get to is God works all things together for our good. Now, it looks like, until you hear it, two separate issues. Would you agree? Do you understand what I'm saying? And yet God in his wisdom, let me tell you, because of her medical leave, because she was on the verge of a nervous breakdown, my sister went to San Jose with some friends. And the Spirit of God moved on this woman. And she bought her an open-ended ticket. Now, we've been trying to get my sister to move back here for years. Because this is where she's safe. She's got people here. Not that those people don't love her, and not that God can't work things out there, but right now, because of the anxiety of the things my mother's going through and not being here to be able to help or be part of it, unfortunately, she's one of those people who likes to take over. I've already gotten the instructions from her, but I love her. You know, it just adds to her emotional breakdown. And she hasn't broken down yet. Praise God. God's intervening. And God's not concerned the fact that she's mad at him. It's not right. But the point is, we all may get to that place at one time in our life. But it's when we put our trust in God and our hope in God, and we see him for who and what he is, that's when we can begin to have a trust that exceeds and takes away that anger. You know, I've heard people say that God's sovereign. Yes, he is. Only in the respect that you allow him to be sovereign in your life. He will never, ever supersede your will. How many know what I'm talking about? You have a choice. You can take Almighty God. Listen to that. All-powerful creator of the universe, and you can handcuff him where he cannot do anything in your behalf. Where he lived, that hometown, handcuffed him, and he couldn't do any mighty works in his own hometown. They didn't believe him. We know who you are. You're a carpenter's son. And so he couldn't do any mighty works there, the Bible says. But what's happening is God supernaturally moved on this woman, and she buys an open-ended ticket. My sister doesn't know, even by her own admission and in our estimation, what she's going to do, but God is maneuvering things so that she can be here with Mom through this ordeal. But also, because it's an open-ended ticket, she doesn't have to go back, and she doesn't know she's going to go back, which means we'll have to move Tony out here. But God's doing the work. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you see the picture? Am I making it clear? Or am I muddying the water? So God is doing a supernatural miracle right before our eyes that we never conceived you could put the two together. Yes, we know God can do them, but we never perceived that he would. You know, we're so finite in our thinking. In our minds, we don't see what God sees. We don't know what God knows. And we're so finite that we don't see how God can work these things out. We know he'll work them out, but we don't, especially when it comes into one big supernatural miracle. What have I been saying since the first of the year, along with many other preachers? I've been saying this is the year where you're going to see God intervene in your life. You don't deserve it. You don't have a right to expect it, but God's going to pour out blessings on you and have things happen in your life that you didn't earn, you don't have the education for. I don't know what all that means. I'm just telling you what I feel in my spirit. And it's going to, I mean, he's going to move you into a position where you're going to be ready to receive and where you're going to receive the blessings that he has for you that are exceedingly abundantly above anything you could ever ask or think. You can take that to the bank, folks. I'm telling you. You give God the glory. You give God the glory. Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for good. For who? For those who love God and to those that are called according to His purpose. How many of you are called according to God's purpose here today? Every one of you. Amen. Raise your hand, because it's every one of you. Doesn't make any difference whether you're in the fivefold ministry or you're in lay ministry or whatever you're doing. You're all called. You're chosen. Did you know you're not only called, but you're chosen? You're anointed to do the will of God in this earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good. That's shouting words, man. That's good news. God not only works out, God our Father not only works out things for our good, but He also makes all things beautiful in His time. Now, that doesn't just mean He takes something that's ugly, which was our life before we knew Him. Amen. He makes it beautiful if we serve Him, if we give our lives to Him. But He also takes the circumstances in our life. He takes the things that are concerns of ours and turns them beautiful. What do I mean by beautiful? I mean turns them into things that are blessings and overwhelming blessings at that. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. See, it's in the Word. He also has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. His ways are past finding out, amen? Isn't that what the Word says? But He never sleeps or slumbers. That means that even when you and I are sleeping, with all the anxieties and the cares that try to come on us, which we're supposed to cast on the Lord, He's still working in our behalf. And you may not see it. Maybe this morning, you're in a place where you have something that you've been praying about and believing God for, and maybe you become just a little bit weary. Or maybe you put it on the back burner thinking, God, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. And of course, my question is, would Jesus ask the guys in the boat, why did you doubt? Oh, you have little faith. He said we were going over to the other side. That boat wasn't going to sink. It had the Lord of glory on it. Amen? There's no way that boat was going to sink. But you see, we get our eyes on the storms and the tribulations and those things, and that skews our vision so we can't see what God's up to. Our expector gets kind of off, if you will, it's like a gyro or a compass. It gets a little off balance or a little off center, and all of a sudden we're lost. You know what I mean by that. We're turned around anyway, if you like that better. But God's all the while working it out. Now, I can tell you, when I heard this, my heart leaped inside of me. I got so excited. Now, I didn't show that to my sister, my little sister, when she called me, you know. But the point is that I shared with her some things. I was at perfect peace and calm. And all I could do was inside say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And I see God moving supernaturally. Remember, anticipating the inevitable supernatural intervention of God? Hallelujah. Are you anticipating God's intervention, His supernatural intervention, inevitable supernatural intervention today? What's your situation? Anyway, maybe you put the situation you've been believing God for on the back burner. You've kind of let it go, and you kind of think, maybe you're even at the point where you say, I'm not sure God really cares, or I'm not sure God's interested in that. Anybody here like that? You don't have to raise your hand. God sees you. If you're honest, you'll raise your hand and say, yeah, I've been there. If you're not there now, you have been there. Hallelujah. But in those things, God is always at work, and God will make a way where to you and I and to the circumstances and the situations and because of distance and time, there seems to be no way. In our lives, sometimes we may get the feeling that God is not hearing our plea or prayers. It does not appear. He does not appear to be listening or caring about some things that we hold important to us or that are important to us. But we know that He sees and knows things we don't. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 13. This is some powerful words from the Lord. Are y'all there? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your ways. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word, in verse 11, go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Heaven and earth will glorify God. Instead of a thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of a briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You see, God takes those situations in our lives that we sometimes don't even realize that we're not really trusting Him for. And by trusting Him, it doesn't mean that we don't believe the Word, but it means, as I said, that He's maybe not working in our behalf in certain situations. How many know that's at best frustrating and may cause you to kind of stumble a little bit? But once again, I know who I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep whatever I have committed to Him against His day, the day of the return of Jesus. He just told you His word and His plans don't return void, but they accomplish what they're sent to do. That means that whether you see it or not, no matter how long you've been standing, and the Bible tells you don't be weary in well-doing, amen, that He is in control and He's got it worked out. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 9, verse 10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. How many are seeking the Lord today? Amen. I know most of you. And I know you're seeking the Lord. And that's why we're seeing things happen. Hallelujah. Supernatural things. That's why we've seen prayers answered in this church. Not that we're so special. He's so special. Hallelujah. His love is everlasting. His love is not limited to a few. Even if you're walking right in the center of God's will, His love hasn't changed, even if you're not walking in the center of His will. But you're His child, and He loves you. And you know what? It may be hard to take sometimes, but He loves you even if you're not His child. Why? Because you're His creation. And He doesn't want those people to perish. Amen? Hallelujah. He wants us to persevere. Next scripture is Revelation 3:10. He wants us to persevere. Verse 10, chapter 3 of Revelation says, because you have kept my command to preserve, I also will keep you from your hour of trial. Listen carefully. This is very important in many, many aspects. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now listen, there's a distinction there. I will also keep you from the hour of trial. Keep who? You and I who are the bride of Christ, the church of Christ, amen? But that hour of trial will come upon the earth. Can we agree? But He's going to preserve us. Praise God. Hallelujah. That word preserve, according to Merriam-Webster, means to persist in a state, enterprise, or undertaking in spite of counter-influences, opposition, or discouragement. Hallelujah. That's what persevere means. To persist in a state, enterprise, or understanding in spite of counter-influences, opposition, or discouragement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I believe the King James says faint, but it means lose heart. Hallelujah. It's His appointed time. He has a time for everything, amen? How many know, once again, God is not late and He's not early? But see, once again, we struggle with the timing. Not the outcome, but the timing. Because it doesn't happen as when we want it to or the way we think it. Sometimes it's not even the way we think it should happen, but it happens. Which means God is faithful and God has proven His faithfulness and His love for you. Because He's brought the desired end and the desired thing to pass. It's His appointed time. See, the reason we struggle with that is because we don't see what He sees. We don't know what He knows. We just read that in Isaiah 55, 8 through 13. We just read that. He has a time and a season for everything. But because He sees what we don't see, we in our anxiousness want it to come right now. You know, God, give me patience, but give it to me now. And what we don't see is God. Look at the circumstance again, the picture that I painted for you in my family. God's working out a situation that's not only going to bless one, but it's going to bless another, and it's going to bring all the way that I believe it should be. Well, who cares what I believe? Does God believe that? I'm on God's side. I don't care what the outcome is. Yes, I have a desire, but the outcome is going to be what God wants, and that's what I want, God's desired outcome. I want that to be my desired outcome, is what God wants, amen? But He knows what I don't know, and He sees what I don't see. And even though it doesn't appear to me, maybe, right, He's working right this moment on that, He's obviously been working and putting it and maneuvering things into place where this could happen, where my sister could come here, get her head screwed on straight, maybe even get deliverance from not trusting God, from not, you know, from being angry at God. Praise the Lord. Doesn't that sound like all things working together for good? Glory to God. Glory to God. Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, listen carefully, it will speak and will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Don't be weary in well-doing. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Okay, now that sounds like a contradiction in terms. Okay, though it tarries, it will not tarry. That means because it doesn't happen in your time, don't give up on it. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I'm giving you some scriptures here this morning to tie in with everything that I'm telling you. Maybe some of these scriptures you know, but you didn't know where they were. So if you're writing them down, it's Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 23 through 31. Hallelujah. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And right then and there, that's, you know, mighty men are standing going, dear God, what is that? And when the disciples saw Him, talking about the mighty men of faith, then when the disciples saw Him, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. They cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Again, you have to examine where your eyes and your thoughts and your trust is. Here's a man who's been teaching them, who's brought them out of what they were doing, made disciples of them, so they could be the workers of God and go out and spread the word and the gospel, the good news. And now all of a sudden they see this one thing, and all of a sudden they're immediately, which shows the humanity, they enter into fear and they get weird thoughts. Now that's not the end of the story. They didn't perish. God didn't judge them. Lightning didn't strike them because they had that moment of doubt. Thank the Lord. That's like the song says, if God kept a record, who would stand? The Bible says He remembers our sin no more. Amen. The Bible says to doubt is to sin, but He remembers our sin no more. So I need to say that again. I want you to get that. He remembers our sin no more, but to doubt is to sin. But God remembers it no more. Because if you'll notice in this, what we find out, and Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it's You, command me to come to You on the water. And so Jesus said, come. It wasn't a big deal to him. And right away, Peter lost himself in the fact that Jesus said, come, because he knew who it was. It was his best friend, and stepped out on the water. He didn't consider that at that instant. And when Peter had come out of the boat, He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But it's when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, didn't say he sank, didn't say he was doomed, it said beginning to sink, he cried out saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" In other words, here's the God, the Jesus, God incarnate on the earth, telling them and showing them all these mighty deeds. And over one little storm, they get rattled and their vision changes because they were looking at the storm. And then they see what they think is an apparition, and it's really the Lord. And so when they get back in the boat, Jesus asks him, he says, "Oh, you little faith, why did you doubt?" In other words, God's told us. That's the question to us today. Why do we doubt? God's told us, "I have for you good," according to Jeremiah 29:11. "The thoughts that I have for your good and not for evil, to prosper and not to harm you, and to give you a hope and a future." What kind of a future would you have if all of a sudden you saw Jesus on the water, you stepped on the water, and you drowned? That doesn't sound like a future to me, huh? That's certainly not something I would hope for. Are you with me? Maybe you have some issue with the well-being of one or more loved ones. Or maybe there are things you've been seeking God for, seeking God for other needs or desires in your life, and they haven't come yet. And maybe just for the moment, you're starting to get a little weary. I mean, because you've been praying and praying, and you just don't seem to see it happening. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Most of the things we desire, if we're godly people, are not things for selfish consumption. And it's not wrong to have desires like that. But the point is, what is your focus? Is it "give me all I can get"? Or is it "God bless other people"? And if you got a blessing for me, I'll take it. Are you with me? Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." That tree of life, all of a sudden, the nutrients, the life of that tree coming up from the roots, causes you to be strengthened. But when your hope is deferred, man, you've been praying and praying. And I'm, "Oh my God, Lord, are you ever going to come? Are you ever going to answer this prayer? Are you ever going to work these things out?" And all of a sudden, the answer comes, and it's a tree of life. He talks about us being planted by the living waters, not the dead waters. Amen? What does it say in the 23rd Psalm? Leads us. That's right, through the valley of the shadow. It didn't say death. He said the shadow of death. How many know death is always looming over? By death, I mean, could be physical destruction. We all know that's coming. Amen? Don't shout me down now. But it also means the things that look like calamities and not victories in our life. Wouldn't you consider that part of death? Through the valley of the shadow of death. But he also says he leads us by the still waters. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He's taking care of us all the while. He's got it all under control. Amen? Are you with me? Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. When we have a deep desire or expectation, God is aware of it and at work bringing it to pass in our lives. Doesn't make any difference whether you see it or not. I think somewhere I read that we're supposed to move by faith and not by sight. It's not what we see or what we hear. It's what we know. And what do we know? The truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And he said, "Have I not said, and will I not do it?" I don't know about you, but that's like signing a contract, which we have with him. We have a covenant with him. And he's promised no good thing will he withhold. He's given all he is for that covenant, including his blood. Amen. That covenant is sealed in blood. Glory to God. He will bring it to pass. Psalms 84:11-12 says he'll withhold no good thing from us. And he says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in him." When we have something or someone we are believing God for, he knows and brings it to pass. at the exact and perfect time. But there may be some things that he has to work out that we don't see. And again, that's where we struggle, because we struggle with what we can't see. But God is amazing. God, because there is no time or distance with him, can work a supernatural miracle that can dovetail and work out an expected end in multiple circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to understand God is the original multitasker. He's everywhere all the time. He knows and sees what you and I can't. He's omnipresent. He's always working. I remember what I said earlier. He doesn't sleep and he doesn't slumber. He's always working. But remember, to him, what seems like an eternity to us is only a day. Day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Because there is no time or distance with God. Amen? Hallelujah. He works out supernatural miracles. Again, well, we talked about that, the dovetail. There's no time or distance. We need to understand that God is the original multitasker. He's everywhere all the time, and he knows and sees what you and I can. Okay, we've done that. He can see where you are and work out his plan for you while he is working out his plan for a loved one or in another situation or family member who may be 100 or hundreds of miles away, and do it so that the two interventions become one big supernatural outcome. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Is anybody getting anything out of this morning? Are you getting excited? Hallelujah. God's always cognizant of us. He's always reticent of our needs and always ready to move in our behalf. And he is moving in our behalf. Not just ready, but he's moving in our behalf. Why? Because we're his. Because we love him and because we've committed ourselves to him. It's family. Maybe in your family you don't have the kind of family situation that would be great and that you'd love to have. But you're part of the family of God. And whatever deficiency is in the natural, God makes up for in the supernatural. Did you hear what I said? Hallelujah. Missed a good place to shout. We look for an outcome or an answer based on our limited vision or knowledge. But because God is God, his plan can bring an answer for two parties at once, even though they're miles apart, even though different circumstances, but yet they're all connected in some way. He already has it worked out before we ask. And you can't ask anything that takes him by surprise. Amen? We look for and we long for one thing in our limited, finite understanding and vision. But our Father is about to exceed our expectation and bring about a major blessing in more than one way, one that we can't even contain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. It can cover two different aspects or desires, bring them together in one major answer. This kind of intervention not only blesses us, but others as well. And it brings about a desired end. Not only your desired end, but God's desired end. Amen. God's for you. He's not against you. Amen. Thank God for the miracle that he's done. You know, that short surgery that Frank went through. Look at, he's up and around, getting around. Things are good. We trusted God that God would, you know, guide the surgeons and it would be taken care of. And Jesus intervened. He was there. The Spirit of God was there. Harry and Marie. Marie with her leg. Look, she's up walking around. Harry with the thing that he's just come through. Hallelujah. When's the last time you had trouble swallowing? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. His supernatural intervention does not only bless us, but others. He works out what seems impossible to us and goes far beyond what we could ask or think. It could be that two desires or more that you may have. Even though they may not be connected in your perception, but God is not limited to your understanding or perception. And He desires to bless you and those around you with a major blessing. Remember Jeremiah 29:11, His thoughts and plans for you this morning. Amen? Man, I had 4 pages of notes. I didn't think I'd make it. Like they say, time flies when you're having fun. Listen carefully. We sang 2 songs today. In His time, He makes all things beautiful in His time. Lord, please show me every day, as You're teaching me Your way, that You do just what You say in Your time. In Your time, in Your time. You make all things beautiful in Your time. Lord, my life to You I bring. My life, that's everything. That's a full commitment. That's full submission to Him and to the Spirit of God. May each song I have to sing be to You a lovely thing. Let it be a sweet smell and a sweet sound in Your ears, Lord. Let it be pleasing to You in Your time. And then the promise of God. God will make a way where to you and I there seems to be no way. He works in ways we can't see. We see the outcome, but we don't see the way you see that He works. Amen? He'll make a way for you. He'll be your guide. He'll hold you closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. Listen, when you feel like you're in a wilderness, by a roadway in the wilderness, He'll lead me. Go back to Psalm 23. Rivers in that den of desert we'll see. In other words, He's always there, taking care of us, supplying all of our needs according to what? His riches and glory. By who? By Christ Jesus. Amen. He's our provider. Heaven and earth will fade, but His word will still remain. He's going to do something new today, folks. If He hasn't already, He's going to. This is the beginning, Lord. If you haven't made your decision yet, this is the day where it begins. I see God supernaturally by His Spirit working out things in your lives that you've been crying out for. You've been crying out for. God, when? When? It starts today. Amen? As you take this word and you walk it out in your life, don't just be a hearer, be a doer. Trust Him. Thank Him that He can do what you and I can't do in ways that you and I can't even fathom or imagine. How? Because why? Because He's far greater, far bigger. And He exceeds anything we could ask or think or even imagine. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. This morning, once again, I would say if there's anyone who needs prayer, if you need the prayer of agreement, if you need encouragement because of something like what I've explained this morning, please don't leave here. This is a safe place. This is not where you get embarrassed. This is where you find an answer. This is the family of God. If you have never been here before, then I want to tell you that you're a guest here only once, and after that, you're family. We don't have roles that you have to sign. We don't ask you to, you know, go through any kind of anything to be a member. You're just a member because you're a member of the family of God, and we receive you as the family of God here. We're concerned about you. God is concerned about you. And we want, God wants, I want God's very best for you in your life. You hear me? And if you've been here before, God, welcome back. Bless you. Good to see Lana and Gilbert. 2 ladies in the back. I'm sorry, I don't remember their names. I think both of them have been here before.
Hallelujah.
If you got as much out of the message as I did giving it, then you're blessed this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Are all hearts clear? Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you now, Lord, once again, to seal your word in the hearts of your people. Not my words, but your words, Lord. We give you honor, Lord. We give the word honor this morning, Lord. And we thank you for your, again, inevitable, supernatural intervention in our lives. We anticipate that, Lord. You're working. Whether we can see it or not, Lord, and bringing about that expected end you promised. I pray for your people, Lord. I bless them this morning. I ask for your face and your countenance to shine on them. For your blessings to follow them, Lord, and take them to higher places and higher and better things than what they know and they are operating in now, living in now, Lord. We ask you to bless them this week and, Lord, to reveal what you have in your time, but as quickly as possible, Lord. To reinforce their joy, to reinforce their faith, and to reinforce their walk and their confidence in you, Lord. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. For all and all who agree, say amen. Bless our fellowship. Go with your people in Jesus' name. Sanctify the food, Lord. And thank you for what you're blessing us with today in the food bank, Lord. Amen. Be blessed.